Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Before I get into the message, I want to make mention that tonight at 5 p.m., we're going to be going live with a session called Enough is Enough. This is from the heart of our ministry, it's from the heart of our young people and people that make up our church. We're a multicultural, multi-ethnic church based here in Salford. And tonight you're going to be seeing and hearing from people about what they think, what they believe, what they want to see about the issue of racism. So please, please, please tune in. It's going to be amazing. You're going to be hearing from all different types of people from all different backgrounds. That's going to be 5 p.m. tonight on Facebook and on YouTube. So tell everyone, man, because we got to get in. We got to get a grip of this thing. Praise the Lord. So I'd like you now to turn in your Bibles as we continue on right now in the pandemic series. Someone asked me, why do you call it the pandemic series? Well, because we're in a pandemic. It's a historical time, man. And I've wanted to look at issues that have arisen, issues that need to be dealt with during this season. You know, one day this thing is going to be in the past. But if there are lessons that we didn't learn during this season, then as people have said, we'll be doomed to repeat them, the same problems, the same issues. We'll be doomed to repeat those things in the future. And I don't want that. If by any means we can speak into situations and we can highlight them, we can provide some sort of solution, that we can speak spiritually into real life situations, then I believe that the church is doing a good job. Can someone help me out and agree with me? So today the message as part of the pandemic series is really just called the racism message. I didn't know what else to call it. The racism message. And I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Once again, the book of Proverbs is such a wonderful, wonderful collection of wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 23, the Bible says this: the Lord detests double standards. He is not pleased by dishonest scales. I'm going to pray right now. Heavenly Father, people that are watching have so many different opinions and feelings and sensitivities around the issue of racism. Lord God, some people don't think that there's anything there. Some people are feeling it. Some people are uneducated about it. Some people don't get it. Some people resist it. Whatever that is, whatever is happening in the lives of your people or people that are watching or listening to this message, right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray that just for a moment, that hearts would become sensitive and open to these issues. My God, I pray that you would speak truth and love into our hearts and open our eyes so that when we live, we give Jesus a reward for his sacrifice and that we do on this earth what he gave us the authority to do, to bring change, to bring justice. Holy Spirit, would you move today? In Jesus' name. Amen. I've got a question. What is the matter with the world we live in? I bet some of you at some stage during this last 958 weeks of lockdown, you've said, what's the matter with this? What's up with this? What's the matter with someone? I'm sure you've said that. What's the matter with the world we live in? Not only are we still in the grip of a pandemic that has smashed our year so far, we're 6 months into the year and it's been smashed to pieces in many ways for many people. And this pandemic hasn't ended yet. There's still reports of deaths. There's still reports of people that are dying of this disease. It hasn't ended yet. Even though people think that it has, it hasn't. But even in the midst of that, we're now being challenged by recent events that have shocked and angered many people in the USA and even here in the UK. In a COVID-plagued society, we've had our eyes opened to what really matters. You know, we've seen over this past several weeks and even months, we've seen that staying home can save lives. You know, there's people that are most at risk, the elderly and different people. And we've been told by the powers that be and the people that should know that if you stay home, we can reduce the infection level, the R number. Get it below one so that it doesn't reproduce anymore. Flatten the curve, we were told. Stay at home, save lives, help the NHS. And we've done that. We've seen that elderly people and people that we love with underlying conditions that could see them actually die if this virus caught up with them. We've seen that there's something we can do that matters. Most of us did what we were asked because we wanted to help, right? You wanted to help flatten the curve. You wanted to help your nan or your granddad or your aunt or your uncle or someone with some sort of sickness. You wanted to help. You wanted to help see them be able to survive this thing, right? You saw that there was something that you could do that would matter. And I know that, you know, you wanted to help. I wanted to help. We've wanted to help. Our churches wanted to help. We wanted to shield and protect the vulnerable. And I know there's been a few COVIDiots. Hello. They're calling them COVIDiots. You know, the ones whose comings and goings showed their selfishness and arrogance. Hello. We all know that there can often be bad apples in a barrel. We know that there are people out there that don't care. They just get out and do their thing. They just go out there and they don't care about any of this. We know that. But they're not everyone, right? There can always be bad apples in a barrel, but there's no excuse in acting like an idiot. So the first thing I want to say is don't be an idiot. There's things that we can do that actually matter. You know, but I'll tell you this right now, there are some places in society where there are no room. There is no room for a bad apple, man. There's no excuse for it in some places in society. The police. There's no room for a bad apple if you're in the police. There's no room for it. Politicians. There should be no room for a public servant that is paid for and elected by the people to be a bad apple. There's no room for that. No excuse. People that enforce the rules that we live in and make the rules that we live in, there should be no room to be an idiot. I also think that there's no room for bad apples amongst pastors. Pastors, man. There shouldn't be any room. Teachers, doctors, are you with me? There are some things that even though we're human, and even though humans can make mistakes, it should never be justified that people can get away with this stuff in certain places. Can someone help me out and agree with me? You know why? Because we need all these people to be safe pairs of hands. It's a responsibility we share. As a pastor for 20 years, it's something that I have taken to heart, that I have a responsibility to live right, to say no to wrong. Not because I'm better than anyone else. I'm a man. I'm fallible. I'm human. But I have no justification for it. I have no excuse. Also in this pandemic, we've seen who else matters. We've seen that the essential workers matter. We've seen that the people that often get overlooked, that they really have a place in society. And they've felt for once that they're doing something that actually matters. There's been an empowerment in that. Also, parents and families and things that we've taken for granted, time, you know, being able to just stop and relax and breathe and smell the coffee instead of just pouring it down your neck to keep you going. Hello. Sometimes before this, things were so rushed. How many of you had a rushed life? You were rushing around doing this. And I would wake up in the morning, there'd be too much blood in my caffeine stream. And it was like I had to get on the drip to keep going, you know. But now I enjoy a little cup of coffee. I don't need it to keep me going. We've seen some changes. We've seen some things that are important. But watch this. We've spoken about that stuff. We've looked into that stuff. It's there. It's relevant. It's real. But recently, we have heard and we have seen and we have been informed that something else matters as well. And I think that God is allowing this to be highlighted right now because it's all part of his reset. We've heard that black lives matter. And they matter right now. You know, some people resist this statement and they make the point that all lives matter. And listen, that's true. No one's denying that, man. But the fact is that right now, it's not about that. Right now, there is something being highlighted that is unique and individual. And that is what matters right now. The fact is that not all lives are being systematically and structurally discriminated against right now. But black lives are. So that's why the statement, black lives matter, is relevant. Do you get that? That's why it's relevant. There's been a couple of things that have brought this home to us. Firstly, in this COVID situation that we're in, we were given reports from, you know, Sage and the medical professionals and all the rest of it, that the highest likelihood, I think 50% more likely to actually die from COVID comes from being part of the BAME community, black, Asian, and minority ethnic community in our societies. Now, possibly that's because they're more likely to work in the front line, in people facing types of jobs that become more exposed to the likelihood of being virally transmitted to them. That's one option. Sometimes it's because of other societal reasons, maybe poverty or different living conditions or whatever. The jury is out on the reasons, but the facts are still there. So I get why the statement "Black Lives Matter" actually matters. Black lives have always mattered. But watch this, man. Right now, the ugly fact of racism has been highlighted across the world by the very public. This is what's happened. One black actor, I think it might have been Will Smith. I think he said, you know, these deaths are not new, they're just being filmed now. Right? And it was very public. But watch this. It was the very public and very unnecessary and very unjust death of the black man, George Floyd, that highlighted this throughout our nations. Much of this has happened for a long time. And it might just be that, like many other things at the current time, God wants to institute and initiate some deep-rooted change. Racism, in all of its ugliness, needs to change. Is there anyone can help me out and agree with that? Post it in the comments. Say amen. Reach it out. Speak it out. I believe that racism needs to be eradicated. Black people, listen to me, man. It's 2020, and black people are still being discriminated against in our society. And that shouldn't be happening. But I get it. Do you get it? Here's some other things I get. I get that I'm in a privileged position as a white man in a predominantly white nation. The UK is 80% white. America, 73% white. So the predominant position is white. And I get that being in the majority gives you a privilege. I get that. But here's the thing. I didn't choose to be born white. But then again, nobody chooses to be born black. So why should people's colour count against them? It's not a choice. It's a fact. And here's the thing. As a white man, I get that even though I will never be able to fully understand what my black brothers and sisters feel at any time in their life or their experience, I can never as a white man understand what a black person feels. But it's not the point of me being able to fully understand. The point is that I'm willing to make a stand with and on behalf of my black brothers and sisters. And this church, this worldwide movement of Victory Outreach, we're in over 30 countries around the world. We're in brown countries, Latin American countries. We're in white countries. We're in black countries. We're in Africa. We're in the Far East. We're in America, North and South America. We have every type of culture you could think of involved in Victory Outreach. And everyone has a place. Everyone has a sense of dignity and belonging and destiny. And I tell you, on behalf of my pastor, Pastor Sonny Arganzoni, on behalf of all the elders, on behalf of this ministry, on behalf of our leadership team here in Manchester, I declare to you right now that we are against racism in all its forms, and we are standing right now with our black brothers and sisters. And you know, this is important. People in privileged places carry a weight of responsibility. You've got two choices. And I had to look at this carefully. You can be apathetic and just, you know, do nothing. Or you can be compassionate to those that find themselves underprivileged in whatever way, shape, or form. And I know where Christians need to be standing. Choosing compassion means adding some action to your thoughts and your feelings. It's okay to think about this issue. It's okay to feel a little bit about this issue. But where's the action? You know, the way things flow in this scale of feelings is from apathy. Apathy is the bottom condition. It's right there on the ground floor. This is where you don't care and feel nothing about a situation or a person's plight or a person's, you know, experience. Apathy is right there on the bottom. And then it moves through to sympathy. This is where you actually start to think about it in some way. You have sympathy. Oh, I'm thinking about you. But then it moves on to another level, which is empathy. This is where you start to actually feel some stuff. There's something moving inside you with this. And that's okay, that's nice when you're feeling for it. But then compassion is at the top of the scale. Compassion is what exemplifies Christ. Compassion. The Bible says that when he saw all of the people like sheep without a shepherd, he had compassion upon them. It means that he was moved inside himself to take action. Compassion is when you add action to all of your thoughts and your feelings. So my question to you right now, because I can feel some of you resisting this. I can feel some of you not understanding this. And that's okay. But bear with me. Follow along. But where are you on the scale right now? Ask yourself, where are you on the scale right now? What sort of society do you want to see? Do you want to see one where there is the haves and the have-nots and the power and the powerless? Or do you want to see one where there is equal opportunity for people according to their ability? Whatever it is, whatever type of society you're comfortable in and you love and you want to see, now's the time it's being made known. Tell you what I want. I want our nation and society to be a place where people can equally live in their destiny regardless of their cultural history. I want to see a society where people, regardless of the color of their skin, can actually see their opportunities come in equal proportion and equal measure. That the standards are balanced, that the scales are balanced. I disagree with discrimination. I disagree with it with women and men. I disagree with it with black and white. I disagree with discrimination. And I disagree with reverse discrimination. I don't think overloading one side against the other even works. I'm against all discrimination. You might say, well, that's, you're an idealist. You're not very pragmatic. You're not very practical. Well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with having an ideal? What's wrong with wanting to see things the way that God created them to be? I'm speaking out about this right now because of the attitude. And I used to have an attitude like this. I was born and raised in the East End of London. My friends were black. I never thought I was a racist. But this is the thing. The attitude of I'm not a racist is good. But silence on this subject right now is not good enough. Because this is about injustice. Injustice. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to fight for everyone who is being oppressed. That was the mandate of the Messiah. When Jesus arrived on the scene and preached his first message and stood in that synagogue and quoted from Isaiah 61. It was about his mandate to fight against oppression and release the captives. That is the mandate of the church, man. That ain't changed. Dr. Martin Luther King, that great civil rights martyr, he said this. He said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Listen, you know what it's like? It's like allowing the injustice of racism to continue without dealing with it. It's a bit like saying you've only got cancer in one lung, but the rest of your body's all right. You ain't going to do that. You can't just let it stay in one little place because you know it's going to fester everywhere. What we need to do is we need to look at that cancer and we need to deal with that cancer and we need to get that cancer out so that then the rest of the body is going to be healthy. Are you with me? You wouldn't want any cancer anywhere in your body, so why do you want injustice somewhere that is undealt with? You know, some people ask the question, and you probably, some of you maybe, you're watching this asking it right now. Who are you to speak up about this? You're a white dude. Why are you speaking about racism right now? You've already said you were privileged. What right have you got? What authority have you got to speak about it? Well, other than the fact I'm a Christian and that I'm fighting against oppression, I've also been a minister for 20 years in a multicultural church. And I pastor a church right now with 40 nationalities and a probably 60-40% black-white split. So I pastor a black majority church. And the thing is, in our church, we see all different nationalities working together. We see blended marriages. We see black and white get married. And they have amazing relationships. They work beautifully together. I have black men and women on my leadership team because of their ability. Because of their ability. So these are not just nice words I'm talking about. I have fought for the right of the marginalized in society to be taken seriously and treated right for 25 years. I've worked with addicts, worked with gang members and criminals. We've worked with broken people of every color, from every background, that most people would just put in a box and put to one side and say they can never ever be useful in society. And I fought for their right to have equal opportunity. Some voices lately have cast stones on George Floyd saying he'd been a criminal. Well, so was I. And here I am right now in higher levels of education, pastoring people with higher levels of education from both colors, black and white and brown, all colors, all nations, all backgrounds. I see drug addicts becoming professionals, getting married. We see people's lives transformed because do you not know that Jesus can transform any life? He is able to transform any life from any background to become everything that he created them to be. Because he is not racist. He ain't sexist. He's not culturalist. He's king of everyone. You know, when we started our church here in 2003, my wife Vicky and I, we came up from London. And we'd been living in Hackney in London. And we were the only white people. There were two white families on our estate. That was it. And when we came up and we landed in a place called Oddsall, which is in Salford. And everyone was white. But we had black people that came and lived with us. We had a little church building that had been derelict and we had a little manse attached to it. And we just started reaching out, doing what we do, what we were called to do. Reach out to the hurting, reach out to the marginalized. And we would get people that wanted to change their lives. And we'd say, come and live with us, man. Come and join with us, you know, let's work this thing through. And many of them were black. And you know, when we brought them into that place, it wasn't looked on very well. In fact, we were petrol bombed. We had stolen cars driven into the side of our home and blown up. We were threatened. I was threatened with knives. I was threatened with all sorts of stuff. And you know what one of the biggest reasons was? Is that we had black people with us. So you want to talk to me about authority, about racism? I have seen racism. Even though I'm white, I have seen racism at work firsthand. And you know what? Most of the black people that I know, and I'm talking about some of them have PhDs, some of them are professionals, some of them are the doctors and the nurses that are keeping people safe. Some of them are the key workers that we believe are essential. You know, every single one of them, almost every single one of them has seen racism at first hand in their lives. They've experienced racism in some form. So the facts are there. The pain is real. And it's time things change. Can someone help me out? You know why? Because the scales are unbalanced. And God hates double standards and dishonest scales. So what can be done? I want to get a little bit practical with you right now. Because all of this rhetoric is fine. All of this speaking is fine, preaching is fine, you know, thinking about it, watching it, doing, putting black squares on Facebook and Instagram is fine. But what do we do? How do we bring about change? There are five things working together that can help to see institutional change. Are you ready? I'm going to get practical with you right now. Five things that can help to bring balance and change to any deep-rooted injustice. The first thing is giving immediate relief. The first thing, give immediate relief. This is the first step. This is how all development strategies begin. When you meet the immediate need in front of you is very, very important. That's why declaring that racism needs to go is important. It's meeting a real need right now. That's relevance. Encouragement, care, sensitivity. They're a good beginning, man. And as long as they don't just slip into clever sounding slogans and little memes that end up meaning nothing, then it's a good beginning. You know, in old school missional scenarios, this was like, it was like giving someone a fish. You're hungry, here's a fish. Now follow me with this. The second thing then is intentional education. This is teaching someone to fish. It's okay saying I've got a need, help me out. But there's loads of people that will stand with you and help you out, but then they need a little bit more education on this. See, the biggest change we can ever hope for is in us. And then from that place of ownership, we can then begin to do something worthwhile. And one of the biggest problems that's happening right now is that many people just don't know what's happening. They're just unaware. They're ignorant. They're oblivious. It's never crossed their path. They don't see it. And they'll never learn from people calling them names or pointing their finger or trying to make them feel guilty. That's not how you educate. Here's the thing. As soon as guilt and shame are used, the power of the cross is negated. It all then becomes just fleshy and humanistic, and nothing worthwhile changes from that. Because Jesus on the cross gave his life and poured out his blood to do away with guilt and shame. So why bring it back? Don't try and use what he did away with. Educate instead. Teach people. Teach people. Educate. Teach them how to fish. Then the third thing that we need is focused action. Focused action. You know what this is? You've given someone a fish, then you've taught them to fish. Focused action is now going upstream and asking why there's not enough fish. This is not just keeping people in that position of lack and want and oppression and whatever. This is now going upstream and starting to ask some hard questions. What's the cause of this? What's the root of this? Where does this begin? Where is this coming from? And some people need to do this. And let me tell you this right now. I'm feeling the Holy Spirit. Some people, you know, Martin Luther King and all those black activists in the 60s, they rose up and they made change. And they died for it. They saw change come. And we need some new prophets of justice that rise up in our society right now. And some of them are not even going to be black. Some people need to go upstream. They need to ask the questions. They need to even protest. Just don't be violent. Violence negates everything. Violence begets more violence. Violence plays into the hands of the people that want the status quo kept. Violent protests destroy more than property. They destroy credibility. I watched the study. I've been on this, man. I've been learning about this. You know, there are people that want to invest in black communities, but one of their hesitancy, this is in America. They want to invest in black communities, but one of their hesitancies is, why should I invest in a place where everyone's going to burn down the thing I invested? So you got to be cute about this. You got to be sharp. You got to be clever about these protests. Go upstream. Find out where the fish are. You're rescuing people all the time, but go and find out who's frying the people in the river in the first place. Then the fourth thing. Are you with me? The fourth thing is practical modeling. Practical modeling. This is showing people a new way to fish. There you were doing your one thing with your little fishing line and your little bit of bait, but it might be now that you get a net. Come on now. It might be now you have to organize a little bit better and you have to show people, how can this new thing work? This is not just for black people modeling. This is for white people modeling. This is what I'm doing right now. I'm trying to model for you that there is a new language. There is a new paradigm that we can have. And I've tried to do it my whole ministry. But we need more people to do this. What are the new options? How can change, this change, become a practical reality? How can you live in a way to a standard that gives racism no room? How can new standards, God's standards, become everyone's standards? This is going to take modeling, man. It's going to take people living it. And then the fifth thing, you've got to have transformational outcomes. You've got to know where it is you're going, where it is you're heading, what type of things do you want to see. It's okay saying racism needs to go, but how? In what measure? How can you measure it? What do you want to see? What are some of the steps? What are some of the things that need to take place? And this is where the fish become available for everyone. See, when you're willing to make a real stand against injustice, you become part of something that can change the world. Imagine it. Imagine a society where people were just allowed to be people. Kids know this. What happens when we grow up? Imagine a place where justice and opportunity were equal for everyone. Imagine that. Can you imagine that? Imagine where being black was not seen as being anything negative. I don't know if you can see that. But it needs to be seen. Because that pleases God. You know, I think these things are important issues. And we need to remember the words of Jesus. When he said, we're going to be judged at the end of time. Matthew 25, verse 33, 34. There's scenarios where people are coming to him and the king using himself is giving them rewards and telling them how he was pleased. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. See, what you don't realize, man, is that by seeking to fight injustice, you're not just doing it for your fellow human. You're doing it ultimately for Jesus. It's his will. When you open your ears to listen to the cry that's becoming louder, when you open your eyes to see the injustice that's all around us, and then when you open your mouth and you speak out against it, man, it's going to become like a pandemic. But it's going to be a pandemic of justice. And then as one issue gets dealt with, it opens the doors for other injustices to start to be healed and dealt with. So guys, whatever you do, man, do what you can to balance the scales. Set new standards for how you think and how you speak and how you live. Even take a knee. But more importantly, make a stand against this injustice. Pray with me right now. Oh, my God. I pray that in every home, in every heart, in every life, that people would wake up. My God, I pray that Holy Spirit, that you would begin to soften hardened hearts, that you would begin to heal hurt, that you would begin to restore souls, that you would begin to reconcile. My God, deal with this injustice. We know the end is coming. We know what the Bible says at the end. We know that you warned us that in the end times, nation will rise against nation. That's ethnicity. Ethnic groups are going to fight against each other. We see that happening all over the world, even now. But my God, I pray that as long as the church is on the earth, as long as we, your people, have your breath in our lungs, as long as we have a voice, as long as we can act, then I pray, God, that we would see injustice eradicated everywhere we go, that every place our feet as your people treads, there would be peace and reconciliation, that there would be harmony and there would be equality. My God, touch every heart right now in every home. Everyone watching this, just take a moment right now and just cry out to God. If you're in pain, cry out. If you're in confusion, cry out. If there's anger, cry out. God can handle it all. But then, having cried out, stand up and declare that I want to change the world. Why not? Why not you? Why not me? Why not us? Because if God is for us, who can be against us? Holy Spirit, would you flow in our homes and in our lives? Just begin to praise God. Begin to pray right now. If you want prayer for any of these issues, we got teams on hand. You can respond. Make a comment. Someone, let someone pray for you. You know, one of the things that equalizes things the most is giving your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. Because when you're in Him, you become the citizen of a different kingdom, a different place. You become a citizen of heaven. And it's a beautiful place to be. You just need to pray and just believe and change your mind and your heart about the things that you've thought were right and turn to Christ and say, Jesus, forgive me. I need you to lead me, to be with me and to hold my hand and fill my heart, fill my life with yours. Save me, Jesus. For the rest of you, come on, just begin to pray right now. The Spirit of God is moving across our nation right now. There's going to be a revival of conviction and holiness. It's going to start with us, man. It's going to start with you. It's going to start in your heart. It's going to start in your home. Come on, just worship the Lord right now. God bless you guys. Don't forget 5 o'clock tonight. Come on, let's worship the Lord.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Go to vomanchester.org for more information.